Our next scripture reading is from the fifth chapter of Matthew's Gospel, verses 38 through 48. I invite you again to hear the word of the Lord. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you. And do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I came across something this past week that I want to share with you. It is an obituary from a funeral home in Galveston, Texas, and it goes like this. "Leslie Ray Popeye Charping was born in Galveston, Texas on November 20th, 1942, and passed away January 30th, 2017, which was 29 years longer than expected and much longer than he deserved." Oh, it gets better. "Leslie battled with cancer in his latter years and lost his battle ultimately due to being the horses that he was known for. He leaves behind two relieved children, along with six grandchildren and countless other victims, including an ex-wife, relatives, friends, neighbors, doctors, nurses, and random strangers. At a young age, Leslie quickly became a model example of bad parenting combined with mental illness and a complete commitment to drinking, drugs, womanizing, and being generally offensive. Leslie enlisted to serve in the Navy, but not so much in a brave and patriotic way, but more as part of a plea deal to escape sentencing on criminal charges. While enlisted, Leslie was the Navy boxing champion and went on to sufficiently embarrass his family and country by spending the remainder of his service in the Balboa Mental Health Hospital, receiving much-needed mental health care services. Leslie was surprisingly intelligent. However, he lacked ambition and motivation to do anything more than being reckless, wasteful, squandering the family savings, and fantasizing about get-rich-quick schemes. Leslie's hobbies included being abusive to his family, expediting trips to heaven for the beloved family pets, and fishing, which he was less skilled with than the previously mentioned pets. Leslie's life served no other obvious purpose. He did not contribute to society or serve his community, and he possessed no redeeming qualities besides quick-witted sarcasm, which was amusing during his sober days. With Leslie's passing, he will be missed only for what he never did, being a loving husband, father, and good friend. No services will be held. There will be no prayers for eternal peace, and no apologies to the family he tortured. Leslie's remains will be cremated and kept in the barn until Ray, the family donkey's, wood shavings run out." Leslie's passing proves that evil does, in fact, die, and hopefully marks a time of healing and safety for all. Some people are very hard to love. And I think that's something that we all struggle with to some degree. How do I deal with this person, live with this person who hurts me? How do I love this person who makes it so incredibly difficult to love them? I think that's something we're struggling with as a country right now. We have been for a while. This person who is so different from me, who has a totally different worldview and beliefs, who I do not see eye to eye with,
and we do not agree on anything, how do I love them? How do we live life together?
Jesus says, it's easy to love the people who love you, the people you get along with. It's easy to show love and kindness to the people who are nice to you. It's easy to do all of this with the people who make it easy for you. What about the people who make it hard? What about the people who are hard to love? What about the people who aren't nice to you? What about people who don't love you back? The people you don't get along with? What does it mean to love our enemies? What does it mean to love? Krista Tippett says of love that we have made it private, contained it in family, when its audacity is in its potential to cross tribal lines. We've fetishized it as romance when its true measure is a quality of sustained practical care. We've lived it as a feeling when it is a way of being. Love is not simply an emotion, something that we feel that exists in our hearts or in our heads. Love is a way of being in the world. It is the practical ways in which we care for each other. Paul, in the well-known verses from 1 Corinthians, says that love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. That is the love that God has for us, right? Love that is patient and kind and hopeful. Love that never gives up. Those are the practical ways in which we are called to love each other. A little later, in the first letter of John, it says that when we love one another that way, with patience and kindness and truth and hope and endurance, when we serve each other and sacrifice for each other, even though we have never seen God, it's like we see God in that other person. So love is it's the concrete, practical ways that we care for one another that allows us to see and experience the presence and the love of God. When you think about loving your enemies, think of it in terms of, how can I be patient with this person? How can I be kind to this person? Am I being envious or boastful or arrogant or rude with them? Am I insisting on my own way? How can I serve them or sacrifice for them? Am I being irritable or resentful with people who are different from me or disagree with me? Am I rejoicing when they mess up and make mistakes? What if you could rejoice when they do well? What if you could hope for them to do well? What if you could believe your enemies, believe in them? What would that look like? What if with these people who are hard for you to love, you could be in such a way that lets them see and experience the presence and the love of God through you? What if you were simply a conduit through which the love of God flows out into the world? I think that this is the most important thing that the Church of Jesus Christ has to do and teach in this culture and this country and this world today, right now, at this moment in time, is how to love. How to love people who are different from us, how to love our enemies and the people who are difficult to love, how to listen to them and understand them and live with them, how to care for each other in practical ways that not just cross but obliterate tribal lines. That is our calling as the Church of Jesus Christ today, to show the world how to do that. But then, Jesus has to go and say, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And right there is where we hear the needle scratch off the record, and it's like, wait, what? Be perfect? I thought we were talking about loving our enemies here, and I was tracking with that. Like, that's something that is within the realm of possibilities. I might be able to get that right. But you're telling us to be perfect like God? And that is something that I know I cannot be. We tend to think of being perfect as making no mistakes, right? You never slip up, you get everything right. That is perfection. If a pitcher in a baseball game doesn't allow any hits, doesn't walk any of the batters from the opposing team, they call that a perfect game. In school, if you don't miss a single answer on the test, you get a 100, a perfect score. And so Jesus is telling us that we should be perfect, that we should never mess up, never make mistakes, never falter in loving our enemies, get that right 100% of the time. I mean, loving our enemies is hard enough without the added pressure of Jesus telling us to be perfect at it. But think about it this way. In a baseball game, a pitcher might not allow any hits, might not walk any batters, but say he throws a wild pitch that goes over the catcher's head, makes a mistake, but it's still a perfect game. And maybe you get every answer right on the test, you know, your history test. You don't miss a single question, but you spell a word wrong. You make a mistake, but you still get a 100, perfect score. You can make mistakes and still be perfect, because the perfection that Jesus is talking about here has nothing to do with not making mistakes. Jesus has just finished telling us to love the people we don't get along with the same way we love the people we do get along with, to treat people who aren't nice to us the same way we treat people who are nice to us, to treat our enemies the same way we treat our friends. And the reason we do this, Jesus says, is because that is exactly what God does. He says, God makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good. They each see a new day. God gives life to each of them. God makes the rain fall on the righteous and the unrighteous. Jesus says that God loves the good and the bad, the righteous and the unrighteous, those who love Him and those who don't. God loves them all equally. God's love is the same across the board. There's no variation in it. God is perfect in God's capacity to love. So for Jesus to tell us to be perfect like God, what he's saying here is that we should strive to love everyone the same, the good and the bad, our friends and our enemies, those who make it easy and those who make it incredibly hard. Love all of them the same, equally, evenly, across the board. That is what Jesus is talking about here when he says to be perfect. Instead of thinking about perfection as never making a mistake, Jesus shows us a perfection that is based on loving and treating everyone the same. We see this in Leviticus, when God is giving the law to the people of Israel, these rules that will help them live in right relationship with each other. God says that when you're resolving a dispute between two people, do not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. And that's kind of strange to us, because all throughout the rest of the Bible, it says essentially to be partial to the poor, to go out of your way to show care and love and provide for the poor. So we say, what is he talking about here when it says do not be partial to the poor or defer to the great? It's talking about some kind of dispute, some kind of legal case that's being resolved. And what God is saying there is, don't base your decision on whether the person is poor or rich. Treat both of them the same, equally. Resolve the dispute based on what it is, not based on your own biases or prejudices or politics. It talks about when you harvest your field, don't take everything, but leave some for the poor and the alien, the immigrant. Then right after that, it says, do not steal. Right, so don't clean out your fields and don't steal. Why do you steal? Because someone has something that you do not. So when you have something that others do not have, food in your field, do not hold it back from them.
When others have something that you do not have, do not take it from them. It's treating everyone the way that you would want to be treated. It's like Cornel West says, justice is love in action. And we are called to act justly, to treat everyone the same, equally, to love your neighbor as yourself. And who's your neighbor? The righteous and the unrighteous. The good and the bad. The poor and the rich. The immigrant and the citizen. The conservative and the liberal. Male and female. Black and white. Gay and straight. Christian and non-Christian. Jesus hung out with the good, faithful, religious people, and he hung around the prostitutes and the tax collectors and the sinners, the people who everyone else hated. He loved them the same as he loved everyone else. No partiality, no favoring, perfect love. And that's the love that God has for us. Even when we mess up and make mistakes and make an absolute wreck out of our lives and our relationships, God's love for us does not waver. God loves you with a perfect love. A love that is patient and kind and self-sacrificing and eternal. And we are called to emulate that love and share it with others. That is our challenge as followers of Jesus, to love not just when it's easy, but when it is very, very hard. Because when love is hard is when love is needed the most. And the people who are the hardest to love are often the people who need love the most.